right. We are in week four of a sermon series called Sent, which comes from this loaded statement Jesus once made, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. In week one, we saw that we are sent by Jesus, which gives us this pretty massive authority, which we better use correctly. In week two, we reviewed the idea that we are sent to the world, sent as light to people living in the dark. In week three, last week, Pastor Catherine reminded us that we are sent with a message that is very, very good news. God loves us and has come to set us free. We weren't here last weekend, so I was at home listening to this, walking around the house, and I was like, yes, amen. And my dogs were like, what's going on? What's that? You know, I hope you all realize what a gift you have with Catherine Johnson's leadership and her teaching. You really are a massive blessing to us. So today, in week four, we'll look at this idea that we are each sent with a story that's a part of God's grand story. Let's pray briefly. God, thank you for inviting us into your grand story. I thank you that even right now, even in this moment today, people are stepping into a new part of the story that you designed for them from the very beginning. God, would you open our ears to hear what you want? Would you protect us from every distraction, both the real evil stuff and the little things of like, are we going to Walmart after this or not, blah, blah. Would you protect our hearing? God, would you help us to hear from you? In Jesus' name, amen. So last weekend, Mercy and I spent a few days in Corolla, however you say it, way up at the top of the North Carolina Outer Banks. On Saturday, we drove up to Carava, whatever you call it, Beach, which is only accessible with four-wheel drive. How many of you have ever been up there? Yeah, there's no roads, there's no stores, there's no gas station, just these rugged beach houses. This is a picture of us driving on the beach. These rugged beach houses behind the dunes and wild horses running around. Well, thanks to Hurricane Lee, the waves were huge, the beach was short, and the sand was deep and loose, which was fun, mostly, until we came to the Laughing Gull. How many of you have seen this house? This is the last surviving house out past the protection of the dunes. And so for a while, Mercy and I just sat there and we watched as trucks took turns trying to time the waves, trying to blitz their way around, the water was way higher, and missing it and ending up plowing through a foot or more of ocean water. And so we're sitting there trying to figure out what we're gonna do, and out of nowhere, this guy walks up to the truck and just kind of starts talking to us. And, you know, this isn't like a pedestrian thing. This is trucks. So this guy walks over to us and he starts talking to us and he starts telling us this story about how he and his wife had gotten up there earlier in the storm when it was really bad. And they found this other route, like over the dunes, I guess kind of like a detour that some Jeeps had made. That's what Jeep people really live for, right? We will rescue you. And he's like, you just, when you go over the dune, you just got to watch out. There's this one sinkhole, but you can't miss it. There's a huge truck stuck in it. Just kind of go around it like this and you'll be fine. He's like, how much clearance does your truck have? You'll be fine, probably. Just, you'll be fine. So we want to keep going up the beach. So we take his advice, back up, mash it, and just plow up over this path through the dunes and make it all the way up to the Virginia line. Now, here's the thing. Each of us were created to be just like that guy that Mercy and I met that day. We have these experiences. We have a better way. And those stories need to be told. We have these stories of what God's good news is and how his good news has become personal to us. And without exaggeration, those stories, They change the world. They not only keep people from plowing into the ocean, they save people. So let's look at a well-known Bible story, the story of the Samaritan woman. Many of you know it in John chapter 4. You'll see what I mean. So this is from John chapter 4. One day, Jesus has yet again upset the corrupt religious leaders, and he takes his disciples on this hike north to his home area, the Sea of Galilee, this area called Galilee. I always wonder if they had like t-shirts that said like, Jesus for Samaria, 32 AD, you know, like the mission team or something. Anyway, instead of taking this was the normal route. Instead of taking this normal route from Judea, Jerusalem, and this area up through the Jordan River Valley, he takes them straight up through a region known as Samaria. Now, his disciples would have likely given him some pushback at this, since the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other, and they avoided each other at all costs. But nevertheless, Jesus wins. He always wins. So they're going up through Samaria, and after a long walk over several days at this point, they come to a town called Sychar. And just before they enter the town, Jesus sends his little mission team into the town to get some lunch as he sits down by the well. There's this well there. People come out from the town to this well. And as he's sitting there, this woman walks over to the well and starts filling her water jug. Jesus asks her for a drink, which upsets her. And she reminds him that they're supposed to hate each other. But Jesus goes on to describe to her how he is himself water. He's the only water that can really satisfy a person. Well, she doesn't seem to get the metaphor, so he takes a different route, picking up in John chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus says to her, "Go get your husband and come back." "I have no husband," the woman replied. Jesus said to her, "You're correct to say that you have no husband. In fact, you've had five, and the man you now have isn't your husband. You've spoken truthfully." It's an interesting way of honoring her, the way. "Sir," the woman said, "I see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place where one must worship is in Jerusalem." "Believe me, woman," Jesus replied, "a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us." Jesus answered, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised that he was speaking with a woman, but no one asked him, "What do you want from her?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" So they, the people of Sychar, left the town and made their way out towards him, towards Jesus. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." The people came to him, and many more believed because of his message. They said to the woman, "We now believe not only because of your words. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man truly is the Savior of the world." There is a lot that could be said from this passage. Full disclosure, my laptop crashed the other day, and I lost a lot of what could be said about this passage. Is this thing bothering y'all? Can you hear me? God, here's the main thing. Just listen for 1 second. God has a unique story written in you, and you are the only one who can tell it. He has a plan for you, and you can look forward to that with hope because he's promised it will be good. Jeremiah 11. Every day of your life was planned by God before one of those days came to be. Psalm 139. Now, no doubt you've got questions about his way of doing things. You won't understand why he allows certain things or his timing with some things. You can't make sense of the challenges you have had or will face along the way. So what you really need more than anything is confidence that he's good. And you need to find a way to trust him. That's your real work. It doesn't come easy. That's why Jesus said it's work. John chapter 6. Jesus said, my work for you is this, to believe. The woman who met Jesus that day didn't come to him on purpose. She's just coming to get water. That's like us just going to Sheets to pump gas or something. But once she met him, she believed in him. And that not only changed her story, but her family's story, her town's story, the whole region's story. Her simple belief in him has changed the lives of millions of people, including us today. And similarly, God has a very, very specific story for each of you to tell. And regardless of what you're going through, he has guaranteed things will work out. It's going to turn out good in the end, if there is an if. If you keep walking with him and if you obey him, which is how you define love. It's Romans chapter 8. That's because your story is a part of his grand story. It's a part of the ultimate narrative of all time. And as I read the stories of the Bible, especially the Gospels, one of the things that impresses me the most is how people come to Jesus like these normal people, but they leave radically changed after spending like minutes with him, at best hours with him. In what seems like no time, they're changed holistically, physically, emotionally, spiritually, which changes their vocation and maybe their location. And it certainly changes their relationships and their entire purpose in life. They didn't expect it or ask for it, but in an instant, they become storytellers. They don't have a lot of new information, but they have something better. They have revelation. They have this whole new awareness about the capacity of God. One of the things Catherine said in her sermon last week, I loved. She's like, the good news is you're not in charge. What a relief. Or what a terror, I guess, maybe, if you think you can make everything perfect. For me, it's a relief. People get this awareness of the capacity of Jesus and this awareness of the wealth of his kindness, his tolerance, his patience. Romans 2. And that awareness doesn't just make them feel good. It compels them to change how they live. It compels them to change how they think, what they do. It compels them to happily repent, to happily change course. Once you see this, why would you keep doing this? It compels them then to tell everyone around them what they know to be true. Back to our woman at the well. Here's the big question from this story. If you read between the lines, why did this woman show up to the well in the middle of the day? Verse 6 says it was about noon. Well, I put that detail in there. Why did he say that? All the other women would have come to the well first thing in the morning. That's when you need water for cooking, for cleaning, for drinking. Why go at noon in the heat of the day? She was hiding from those other women. She was trying to avoid those other women. She was trying to avoid the stares and the glares and facing the fact that they consistently reminded her of, even if they didn't say it out loud, they consistently reminded her of the fact she could not keep a man. She could not satisfy a man. You know how you can look at people and just tell them something. So what does Jesus do? Mind you, the greatest man of all time, Jesus accepts her. He respects her. He values her. Of all people, he chooses her to be the first person that he most overtly reveals his true self to. Of all people. And then on top of it, he makes her, in so doing, the first disciple of the area, the first primary preacher of the area, the great missionary of the people of Samaria. And in a shame honor culture, everything in that time, and actually still in the Middle East, everything is based on shame or honor. All of your motivations are based on avoiding shame and getting honor. And in a shame honor culture, he gives her the ultimate change of position, taking her from shame to honor, from one who hides to one who brings people out of hiding to Jesus. Wow, Jesus, he's such a genius. Okay, so how about this? He's doing the same thing for you. He wants to do the same exact thing for you. Like this woman in our story, you have something to say. People need to hear it. You have a story too. You have a story of whatever God is doing in your life and people need to hear it. So how can we do that? I'm going to give you a couple quick things and then we've got an amazing testimony. First of all, get to the well. Get with Jesus. Get in the presence of Jesus. This is going to be the theme of Vision Quest in 2 weeks, by the way. Go to Jesus, the living water, and listen to him. It's not inconsequential that this woman leaves her water jar there. Jesus said we would hear his voice in John 10. Get to Jesus, get to the well, and listen to him. And the more encounters you have with Jesus, the more courage you'll have to tell the stories. Meditate on what God has done in your life. Reflect on what God has done in the scriptures. Ask Jesus to tell you which aspect of your story somebody needs to hear. So that's the first one, get to the well. Sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint. My computer tech issues, you know. Secondly, listen to stories. Listen to God's stories. Get around other people who have stories. Join a small group or volunteer. Be brave. It's a part of being a disciple. Put yourself out there. If you don't know where to start, go to Connect. Please, go to that corner, sign up for Connect after the service. The more time you spend with others who share openly about what God is doing, the easier you'll find it is to do it yourself. So that's a second one, listen to other stories. Third one is look for openings. They will come. The openings will come if you look for them. Last year, I was in an Uber in South Dakota, and pretty quickly, you know, I was out there for a pastor's retreat, so we're talking about this guy. What are you doing here? Oh, I'm here for a pastor's retreat. Okay, drive a little slower, whatever, you know how it is. And so we're talking back and forth, and then the guy just drops me an opening like this. So what about you, man? And he starts asking me about my life. And the next thing I know, I'm just telling him, yeah, I know. We were talking, somehow we got talking about love being the best thing in the world. That's an entry point. And I was like, yeah, well, from my perspective, the love I have, it can't come from me. I'm not like that. God's the one who gives me this capacity to love people that I wouldn't otherwise want to be anywhere near. That's what love is. That's where love comes from. It was just like God just lobbed this opening or put this opening right in my lap. So look for the openings. This is the upside of living in a postmodern context that so values individual experience, where everybody's like, my truth is my truth, your truth is your truth. This is the upside of it. People will listen to your stories. That's the third thing. Fourth thing is practice. Learn how to get it out in a couple minutes. Practice with a mentor. Practice with a friend. Make it normal. Number five, get rid of what I call the switch. Why is there a switch we turn off or on depending who we're talking to? Are they a Christian? Oh, tell me. Or not a Christian? I better talk about baseball. Why do we do that? Why turn it off when you're talking to others? Why not be the same person anywhere, everywhere? This morning in prayer, I was like, I couldn't hear anything from God. I was like, what's wrong? Because the scriptures say when you can't hear something, you're in sin. I asked God what's wrong, and he started putting these faces in front of me of people I'm holding on to offense towards. And they were like balloons, like boom, boom. And they were like surrounding me. I was like, and there are so many of them. And I started telling God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And one by one, they started like, it was like he was cutting them. They were, we're floating away. Why can't I tell that? The next time I'm talking with one of my good friends who's not a Christian, and he's talking about how ticked off he is with somebody, how offended he is with somebody, I'd be like, man, I know that feeling. Why can't I tell him? Why can't I? I can. I will. I'll tell him, Jesus gives me this capacity to forgive people I like don't like. Next thing I know, I kind of like them again. And lastly, number six, talk like a normal person. Be careful of using, Leah, you want to come on up here? Be careful of using what I would call spiritualese or Christianese, you know? They don't know what praying a hedge of protection means. They don't know fellowship. You can talk like that with people, you know, Christian people all day, but just talk like normal when you're talking to people who don't know that stuff. All right. We're going to do a little example here. This is Leah Wolf. There you go, Leah. Thank you. And we're going to pretend that I've never met this person. And we haven't rehearsed this. I've given her like a couple minutes of what I'm thinking. But Leah has a pretty great story, and I want to see how she gets there as we talk, okay? So let's say we're somewhere where we're going to have at least 15 minutes to talk, you know? Like, I don't know, we're sitting... DMV, gosh, yeah, we're at the DMV. Yeah, so we've got 2.5 hours to talk. And we're both sitting there on our phones like everybody at the DMV. And both our phones die, and we're like, well, what do we do now? So we're sitting there next to each other, like, hey, so I'm pretty much just going to pick it up from there. Again, we haven't tried this. I have a few potential questions, but are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hey.
Hey,
did your phone quit too?
Yeah.
Oh, what a pain. What are we going to do? I guess we're going to have to talk to each other like real humans. My name's Mike. What's your name?
Leah.
Yeah. So get your car registered or whatever?
Yeah.
Isn't the DMV a pain?
It is.
No, I'm sorry. The DMV is fine. If anybody works at the DMV, you're fine. So, where are you from?
From the Valley.
Yeah. Did you grow up around here?
Yes, I did. Harrisburg, Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you work around here?
Yeah.
Where do you work?
I have 2 jobs.
Wow.
Yeah. Work at Costco, and I work for JMU doing graphics for their live sports broadcasts.
Okay. You're hard working.
Yeah. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
Got to.
Do you have a family?
Yeah. I have a little girl that's 5 years old.
Aww.
Yeah. And, got a great family support.
Yeah.
And I'm engaged. My fiance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. You're busy.
I am.
Two jobs,
busy.
Kid.
Yeah.
And you're at the DMV too.
Yeah.
On top of all that. So, Well, recently somebody was talking to me about, I'm not going to go that route. Let me see. That's too much. That's too easy. So tell me about yourself. We're going to be sitting here for the next hour. Tell me about yourself. What's your life been like to this point?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, I know. Well, we got time.
Life definitely wasn't what it is today. And struggled with addiction for a long time. And
yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah.
What were you into?
Anything and everything, pretty much. Yeah. About 10 years of my life, you know.
Wow.
That I thought was flushed down the toilet, but wow. Turns out God has different plans for a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that picture you're showing me on your phone there?
Oh, yeah, the phone that's dead.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's like a miracle. I'm seeing this picture somehow.
Yeah.
What's that?
That is the result of a lot of really bad decisions. 3 years in prison.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't sound surprised.
It's okay. The benefit of that, though, is while I was in there, God's got a sense of humor. Let me start with this. So at the county jail, there's a way to actually clean out your toilet and talk to the men upstairs. And
through the toilet?
Through the sewage pipes, yes.
Like a little speaker system?
Kind of, yeah. You make like a little funnel out of your jail manual and, you know, put it in there. And yeah. Anyway, so I started talking to somebody just out of boredom. And they were challenging my current belief system at the time was not so Christian. And I was putting on my typical argument that, you know, this wasn't real. If God was real, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't have gone through all the things that I've gone through, lost all the things I've lost. And he challenged me to read the book of James in the Bible.
Huh.
And
through the sewer pipe.
Through the sewer pipe, yes, indeed. So in the book of James, if you don't know it, it talks about a lot of trials and tribulations and how to rejoice in those trials, which kind of smacked me in the face a little bit. But I do remember all of the things it talked about how the tongue can be such a powerful weapon. And basically it came to life to me and just was spoke to me in so many ways about how broken the world could be. And all the things I've experienced, he's already said were a possibility and would happen.
Through reading this book called James.
Yes.
Through the sewer. No, you heard about it through the sewer and you read the book.
Yes, I accepted the challenge to read the book of James.
So then what did you do?
We started doing Bible studies through the toilet after that. We played chess, too. I mean, that's just a fun fact. Yeah.
So then you became like that guy? You became like his religion?
Yeah, I mean, not really his religion. I mean, he guided me back to my foundation point. I grew up in the church, but straight away for a long time. And when I came back, God grabbed a hold pretty hard. It's like, you're not going anywhere this time.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. So what about now? What's your life like now?
Well, I find incredible, just so much joy and passion in helping those that have experienced the same thing that I have. And I now lead a small group here. And now that we're not at DMV,
at DMV, a minute, y'all, there's a small group here.
Yeah. I lead a small group here at DMV. No, just kidding. And it is called New Life Recovery, and we meet together, people with like struggles, and we do a lot of Bible studies. We learn about the Lord, and we create community with each other to help walk through rebuilding everything in your life. From the brokenness that comes with addiction and trying to find Jesus so that he can put all the pieces back together.
Wow. So awesome. So I just want to ask you, there's a couple people listening in on our conversation here. You said you were like this guy was talking to you about how God was supposedly good and everything, and you were like, I haven't seen it, right?
Yeah.
But then that changed. You read that book you were telling me about. What would you say to people listening who are like, yeah, I don't know about that. What would you say to people who aren't sure about God being good or who don't know if God really loves them? Or
mine was a journey. I had to understand that the gift of free will sometimes always doesn't feel like a gift. But in reality it is, because when you choose him, it becomes a gift.
Yeah.
And that becomes a love like you don't understand. And when I chose that, I began to see all of the little pieces of love throughout my life, that he had saved me, he had protected me, he had walked with me through some of the darkest times in my life, even though I wouldn't turn around to look at him. So I would say, what do you have to lose? Make a choice and see what happens.
Thanks. You have any tissues?
I do.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, sorry. Yeah. Well. Okay, we should transition here. So I'm just trying to figure out what we should do now. You have that picture of the path. So you said an interesting thing there about life being a journey. It's like not always like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I think we're given that right there more times than we can imagine in this life. And we do not know when is our last chance. There is a very real thing called hell. And it's worse than driving into the ocean. I don't often say that, but it is the truth, and we need to know it, and we need to remember that. And that's true not only for us, it's true for the people we love and care about who need to hear our story. And so what I'm going to do, and this is a moment in time, this is a why in the road. Can we have the ministry team come forward? I want to give all of us a chance to respond in a couple ways. I want you first to search in yourself. Where are you with God? Are you confident you are on the right track, that you are firmly in relationship with him? You are confident without any question you're going to be with him when you die. If that's you, great. Sit there and pray for the rest of us. If you're unsure, I want to dare you to be brave and come forward and let one of these people pray for you. And then, after we give that a few minutes, we'll close with song. But if that's you, if that's your first time doing it, or maybe it's like your second time. Not if it's like your 50th time, maybe. But if you need this sort of re-giving of your life to Christ, going on the right path again, I want to dare you to come forward. And for the rest of us, let's just pray. You don't have to be like surveying everything. Let's just pray. And we're going to just give it a couple minutes. God, actually, will you pray? We're not in the DMV anymore.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you can pray there too.
Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everybody here today. I just thank you that you are who you are and that you love each and every one of us. I thank you for all of the things that you have brought each one of us through. And I thank you that you are always working it to the good. And Jesus, I just ask that you will just continue to minister to each one of our hearts today and continue to fill us up with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
The team would love to pray for anybody, for any reason. Could you all stand and we'll close? Come forward for prayer for any reason of any kind. If you're new or newer to Grace and you're not yet engaged or plugged in some way, please stop by the corner in the back and we'll get you connected around here. Otherwise, I bless you to go out to tell your story in such a way that others would come to Jesus, who will give them a new story. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome day. Love you all.